Deal Down Under, L'Oreal buys millennial favourite skincare brand Aesop. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. $2.5 billion, that's how much the French beauty giant L'Oreal is buying Aesop for. It's L'Oreal's largest takeover in decades. For more of the details, I spoke to the BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney. Hi Phil. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about Aesop, where the brand came from and how long it's been around for, because by now it has a bit of a cult following, doesn't it?
It does. It has a very enthusiastic following around the world for its various creams, lotions and soaps. Now, part of this dedication of people who flock to the company's products is because they have a reputation for being very ethical and plant-based. And this all began back in 1987 in a Melbourne hairdressing salon. There was a man called Dennis Perfitis. He was working in the salon. It was owned by him, and he was mixing essential oils. Eventually, the brand became known as Aesop after the Greek storyteller, and it has grown into this massive global machine, if you like, with more than 400 stores around the world.
And apart from the big figure, Phil, what else do we know about this deal?
Well, this is reportedly the biggest buyout for an Australian luxury brand ever. It brings the brand Aesop under the same umbrella as Garnier and Maybelline.
What about its plans for China? Is it going to expand there?
I think that really is one of the keys to this deal. Aesop opened its first bricks and mortar store in China last year. And if you listen to the L'Oreal chief executive, they have their sights on building success into China, of course, a huge population, an increasingly wealthy population, an expanding middle class. And what better to spend their money on than all these lotions and potions that have made Aesop so popular in many other parts of the world.
BBC's Phil Mercer, thank you so much for filling us in on all the details of that big deal down under. And thanks for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks very much.
Now, let's do the numbers. London's FTSE is doing well and heading for its seventh day of gains. Almost every stock is in the green, and that's in part due to easing concerns over the banking sector and gains for all oil companies like Shell and BP, with those OPEC production cuts pushing up crude prices. Also, European factory gate prices fell for fifth consecutive month and by more than expected in February, almost entirely due to declining energy prices. And failed Swiss bank Credit Suisse is having its annual meeting today, its final one. Chairman Axel Lehman told shareholders he was truly sorry for the collapse. That's the sound of the satellite launch company Virgin Orbit testing its rockets. But the company's fallen silent because the business, founded by the British billionaire Richard Branson, has filed for bankruptcy. It had been struggling after a rocket failure in January and was finding it difficult to raise funds. Last Thursday, the company, based in California, sacked 85% of its staff. Beef's big business in Uruguay. There are nearly four cows for every one of the 3.5 million population, and they eat more beef per person than any other country on earth. It's the country's biggest export. But now there's a new breed of rancher in town. The BBC's Jane Chambers reports.
You've got the local manager on a motorbike with his dog perched on the front and a whole field of cows coming towards us.
Math is my passion, but I needed more nature in my life.
That's mathematician Matias Carrasco. He's part of a tiny but growing number of urban cowboys, people from the city who want a taste of ranch life. His farm's around a two-hour drive from the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo. Matias's father, Pablo Carrasco, is a farmer who runs a company called Conexión Ganadera, where clients put money into the beef industry.
We are working 70,000 hectares all around the country. So the assets under our management, that includes the land, includes the cattle, includes the slaughter plant, is more or less $400 million under our management. Unfortunately, we have more money offered than places to put the cows.
But now the business is so successful, there isn't enough pasture for all the cows. So Pablo and his team decided to pilot the scheme, which Matthias is involved in, where investors can buy abandoned farms and turn them into places with well-looked-after cows on premium pasture. Apart from problems of lack of pasture, farmers are also dealing with climate change and the issues caused by belching cows, which produce methane gas, the second most common greenhouse gas after carbon dioxide.
I think that the cow is not the problem, it's the solution.
That's farm manager Sebastian Olaso. He's part of a growing trend in Uruguay to make farming methods more sustainable. He explains why his cows are carbon neutral.
If you have a lawn in your backyard and you do not cut it, what happens? It will grow and it will stay like that, and you are not going to get new pasture next year. So if you do not cut the grass, they will grow and they will die. The cattle, what they do is that they eat that forage and they start a new cycle again.
Despite opposition from environmental groups, the beef industry is here to stay in Uruguay. There's an ongoing push to rebrand themselves so their cash cow flourishes. I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Our editor is Joe Critcher. If you want to listen back or even share this as a podcast, we're available across all the usual platforms. For more on these stories, you can visit the BBC News website. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.